Dear beloved Muslims, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والآله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Allah, the pure, the perfect, the most high, says in his Quran بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا It translates, You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct for any one whose hope is in Allah and the final day and who engages much in the praise of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, وَإِنْ كَالَ أَلَّا كُلْ khulukin azim. And thou standest on an exalted standard of character. And Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billahi. You are the best of peoples evolved for mankind, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. Dear believers, dear family, we say Sadaqallahu Azim, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. With Allah's help, dear family, our topic today is simply Prophet Muhammad and his companions represent the best of Muslim character and qualities. Repeating, Prophet Muhammad and his companions represent the best of Muslim character and qualities. Dear brothers and sisters, we are often distracted. Everyone vies for our attention. We are often in environments that actually are not conducive or supportive of Al-Islam. We have associates, we have family members, we have friends that have practices, values that are not necessarily our own. Now, I think you all know me well enough. We're certainly not saying fire your friends. You certainly cannot fire your family. That's not what this is about. This is about helping us and making us to be conscious that whenever we're in someone's presence or whenever we're in an environment, you are inviting someone to something, or you are being invited to something else. And again, it doesn't have to be blatant. It doesn't have to be overt. Doesn't have to be anything like that. It's a subtle thing. And it's not that I'm saying you be that obnoxious person that's always preaching and teaching and pointing out people's faults and bragging about Islam. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just be that type of personality, that type of person and being that when you walk in a room, it just changes the whole atmosphere for the good. Praise be to Allah. So, dear family, let's comment a little bit on these ayat, just briefly here. Brothers and sisters, we know this, so I'm reminding us, but I have to say it. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is our example. He's our example. And Allah does not give him as an example in his Arabness. He doesn't give him as an example in his, that's a good example, in his Arabness. Yeah, he gives us him as an example in his human qualities, but I'm going to go one farther. He doesn't even give him to us as an example in his maleness. He is an example for the Muslim man and the Muslim woman. Brother Salim, a little bit of feedback there. Praise be to Allah. So again, brothers and sisters, what am I trying to say here? Allah says, you have indeed in the messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct. And the only thing I want to point out here is that is in his internal makeup, not in his outer shell. The term is uswa. And as Muslims, we use sunnah a lot. Sunnah this, sunnah that. Sunnah deals with the outer. Sunnah deals with the practices. And again, we don't negate the sunnah. We're not trying to abandon the sunnah. But what I'm talking about, don't get caught up in his outer without any attention to his inner. Because Allah did not say, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Allah didn't say that you have indeed in the messenger of Allah or in the sunnah of Allah. He said in his uswa, his uswa, his example. Praise be to Allah. I think you understand that. And the last thing that we'll say about this is that he's not just our example. He's the example for all mankind, for all the worlds, specifically for people of faith, for people who remember Allah much and have their hopes not here, but in the eternal home. And then Allah comes behind that and simply says that his character is exalted. See, brothers and sisters, a lot of times you and I want to be like somebody else. You know, a lot of times, a lot of us get involved with the different business models. The best example is the multi-level marketing and all of that. And you have these rallies and you have these positive speakers and you have this this rah-rah, hoof-hoof, and you want to be like them because being like them will earn you millions of dollars. You know, you're going to go diamond or whatever. Everybody in here has been approached by one of those businesses. And they're legitimate businesses. I'm not saying this to bash. What I'm saying is they hold these leaders up in front of you and they let them speak to you and they edify their lifestyle as a motivation for you to be like them. Well, we have someone that we should edify. We have a life model. We have an example that we should try to be like. Well, amen, we can't never be like him. That's not the point. You are exactly like him in your beginning. You're exactly like him in your human quality. You're exactly like him in your possibilities. I'm speaking of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exactly like him. This is what I'm trying to get us to understand. And they tell you, if you do just like Diamond so-and-so, you will reach this success. Well, brothers and sisters, if we do like Muhammad the Prophet,
that's right,
and his companions, specifically the Khalifa Rashidun, the rightly guided caliphs, we can't fail. We can't go astray. So that's my first encouragement, family. Keep your focus on who we should be focused on. Muhammad and his companions. Now, after that, what has Allah done, brothers and sisters? What has he done for us? Why has he perfected the deen of al-Islam? Why has he evolved al-Islam over time? Yes, al-Islam started in some form with Adam, upon him be peace. But Allah systematically has been evolving this religion, building layers and tiers, to get to a point where he can say, this day have I perfected for you your religion, completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred al-Islam for all of you. And then Allah says in 30:30, this is the religion of nature. Let there be no change in that. That is the standard way of life. But most people don't get it. So, brothers and sisters, what does it mean? What did I say a few minutes ago? You are either doing dawah or dawah is being done to you. So Allah clearly says, you are the best of communities. You are the best of peoples that I have evolved over time. That's what the Arabic says. I have evolved over time for all mankind. Brothers and sisters, if the Prophet's for all mankind, you and I for all mankind. Because you invite to all that's good. We don't do what's expedient. We're not swayed and influenced by money, status, power. We don't want people praising us to get us drunk on ourselves as a manipulation tool. A lot of times when people pay you a compliment, they're getting ready to ask for something. A lot of times when people pay you a compliment, they're getting ready to come and do something or get you to do it. They want you to do something. So Allah says, I have evolved you because you invite to all that's good. You represent the best and you shun, you repel, you fight against evil, corruption, sin, and that's on all the levels. Allah says, but you can only do this because you have faith. Now, I'm not going to complete the rest of the ayat, but it says all of these things of this community and that you are believing in Allah. All right, praise be to Allah. I'm going to end this part of the khutbah. So firstly, we know who our model is. We know who our example is. And he's not in a box. He's not a limited model. He's not a limited example. He's for all mankind. He's a mercy to all the world. Then we know as his followers, we have a duty and responsibility. We have a duty to be Khalifa, meaning that we have to, everything that we're involved in, associated with, working with, helps to establish Jesus, upon him be peace, his prediction. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as you imagine it. And I'm putting my twist on it now. As you imagine it to be in heaven. In other words, we want some of that here. We want it now. We don't want to wait to die to get heaven. We want some heaven right now. And the most and the best heaven we want is an internal heaven. Meaning that we can also be like Jesus upon him be people. Are you talking a lot about Jesus? Okay, yes. He's the prophet of Allah, the messenger of Allah. And he's our example also. We want to get that internal thing so we can walk among the world and say, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. The world doesn't affect me. I affect the world. The world doesn't influence me. I influence the world. With the right motivation, wow. Not as a star, don't need no spotlight, but fi sabilillah, in the path, and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to end this part of the khutbah with a saying of our Prophet, the prayer and the peace be on him. Listen to these words when we talk about faith. I don't quite like the wording of this. I'm going to give you another little wording right now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you possess these three characteristics, listen to this language, you have tasted the sweetness of faith. Doesn't that sound good? Sweetness. All of us like something sweet. We like a sweet disposition. We like a sweet dessert. We like a sweet person. I don't mean sweet like that. You can be too sweet too. We ain't gonna go there, all right? Keep it clean. Keep it on the right path here. If you possess these three, you have tasted the sweetness of faith. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu related that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, faith belongs to whoever has three things. To love Allah and his messenger more than anything else. I'm going to stop right there. Don't raise your hand. Don't confess. My question is, though, do we love Allah and his messenger more than anything else? And if we haven't arrived yet, it's all right, because I'm still struggling. You know, we're not going to present something that we're not. Umar radiallahu an had the courage, because the Prophet told him this directly. He said, if you want to make it, if you want to arrive, if you want your faith perfected, I have to be dearer to you. This is Rasulullah talking. I have to be dearer to you than your own self and anything else, and anyone else, even your own self. Umar, he wasn't bad. He said, you know, I'm going to give it to you straight. I can see you being dear to me than anybody else, but you know, I kind of like myself. I don't quite see you dearer than me yet. I'm using my word, but this was the message. And then Rasulullah just simply said, well, you haven't arrived yet. You know, keep working. And then he thought about it. And then some time passed and he came back. You are dearer to me than my own self. So it's a growth, it's a process, it's a development. So this is where we want to be. That nothing is more important than Allah and his messenger. And then he says, secondly, is to love and be loved for the sake of Allah. What is your motivation for endearing people to you? Again, are you trying to manipulate people? Do you want them to give you money? Do you want them to give you gifts? If you're a leader, do you want to be put on a pedestal? Do you want them putting you in a mansion and you want to drive fine cars? What is your motivation? Do you want to be loved to be, in a sense, to be seen as the instrument through which Allah's truth is coming through? Where you are helping and healing and empowering people in their life. So the motivation is to make a difference for the pleasure of Allah. And then the idea of being loved. You know, Allah says in the marriage, or we say in the marriage khutbah, the first ayat of Surah An-Nisa, we talk about Fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. But what starts there, see, first you got to be reminded you have mutual rights, but what helps you carry out your mutual rights is first the fear of Allah. Again, what is my point? Most of us will do right when we feel like doing right. Or I will treat you good as a wife, treat you good as a husband, if I'm not mad at you, if we don't have any issues. But if I'm upset with you, I withhold my love on so many different levels to punish each other. But if you fear Allah, you'll do what's right. You'll give each other their rights, even if you don't feel like it. Love for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah. And this is the one that I really want to bring home. And I thank you all for your patience, because I was going to try to be brief here. But the second part, I'm going to warn you now, it's even longer than the first part. All right? Just settle in for the ride. Then listen to the third point. Firstly, Allah and His Messenger are dearer to us than anyone else. Secondly, we love and we want to be loved solely for the pleasure of Allah. No ulterior motives, no hidden agendas. And thirdly, we hate returning to unbelief just as much as one would hate being thrown into the fire. This last one, to me, more hits the keynote of what I'm trying to do today. The Prophet and his companions are the most excellent character, or that they possess the most excellent Muslim qualities and characteristics. And what I'm trying to encourage us, I'll just say it now and maybe again later. Brothers and sisters, we never want to leave the excellence of our religion. We never want to stop striving and growing in our religion. We never want to become so beat down and unconscious that we just go along to get along, that we just compromise our fine principles by Satanists wearing us down. We hate returning back to unbelief. Now, for most of us, you think that's ludicrous, because you think it's talking about just you leaving Islam and becoming back to Christianity, or becoming a Jew or atheist or whatever. No, there are levels of disbelief. And any time that we put things on the level of Allah, or when we're ungrateful, or when we compromise certain values and principles, and we, when the Rome do like the Romans do, so to speak, all of these things contribute to unbelief. And I'm telling you, it's subtle, brothers and sisters. It's subtle to the point, it's like being in the middle of an ocean on a ship. Everything is good if the sail is set right, if you're in a sailboat. If the wind is blowing just right, everything is good. You can plan to be start at point A and get to point B. Or if you're blessed to have a motorboat, and in that case, it doesn't matter kind of what's going on in the water. You can steer the boat with the motor, and you can go against the inertia. You can go against the waves in a motorboat. But what if your sail, you don't have a sail? What if your motor is out of gas and you're in the middle of the ocean? Then you're left at the whims of whichever way the wind blows, whichever way the tide goes, and water all around you. So you think you're going straight, but really you're going left. You don't even know if you're going forward, backward, right or left, but you're going left. And then after a couple hours, you look around and say, how did I get over here? It's subtle. And that's what Satan's counting on. So remain conscious, dear family, fighting against the inertia of those things that rob us of our inheritance. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanat wa fi akhirati hasanat wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next. Please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Let me speed this up. Dear believers, we're creatures of habit. We are very ritualistic people. And we're also lulled and fooled into believing the ritual is the righteousness. Some of us, so we here today on Friday, okay, it's Juma. You say, all right, I kept my duty. I'm at Juma. But your mind is somewhere else. You're at Juma, but you can't wait for me to finish the khutbah. We make our prayers thinking about everything else. So what rock am I on? We're just so distracted. And we think the ritual, Allah comes in Baqarah and clearly says, it's not righteousness that you change, turn your face in a particular direction. Well, Brother Imam, that's talking about the change from Jerusalem to the Kaaba. Yes, but principally it's talking about something else. That's a ritual too. When we turn to Jerusalem, that was a ritual. Then we turn towards Mecca. Allah saying it's bigger than that. It's more than that. If you want to know what righteousness really is, think on the six. The six articles of faith. Because that's what Allah, if you break it down, that's basically what Allah says righteousness is. But he doesn't stop there. He says it's also about being truthful and keeping your word. See, we forget about that. I pray, I this and that, but I don't keep my word. That's also righteousness. And then Allah says righteousness is when you remain faithful, not only when everything is hunky-dory. You remain faithful in a crisis. You remain faithful in the test. I like the way Yusuf Ali puts it. In adversity, in all periods of panic, you remain faithful. That's what righteousness is. So here we go. What do we get out of reading the Quran, dear family? What do we get out of reading a hadith or the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions? Do we just get a good feeling? Do we just grow in knowledge of the history? Or are we inspired with a longing or a desire to be like Prophet Muhammad and his companions, upon him be peace? See, brothers and sisters, this is really what it's all about. You can teach animals to mimic human beings. You can teach parrots and others to mimic certain sounds. But are they cognizant of the sounds? Are they aware of what they're saying? So, brothers and sisters, we don't want to just feel good when we read the Quran. I hope we do feel good, but we want more than that. We don't want to just feel good or grow in knowledge only. We want to be inspired. Dear Muslims, it is not enough to be Muslim in name only, or to say I come from a Muslim family. Most of the people I'm speaking to today are what they call reverts to the faith. But some of you were born and raised in al-Islam. That's all you've ever known for generations. So what I'm saying to you is not enough just to say I'm a Muslim or to change your name or come from a Muslim family. Dear believers, when we are superficial, listen to how I said this. When we are superficial in our faith, we are cheating ourselves and we are robbing ourselves of our inheritance. This is what we have to bring home over and over again. We live in a world that makes al-Islam strange. Why y'all do this? Why y'all have those practices? Why you wear those clothes? Why you can't eat pork? Why? Why you gotta do all those prayers? That's the world we live in. But al-Islam is your birthright. Al-Islam is your inheritance. Al-Islam is compatible with everything in the universe. So we don't want to be robbed. Dear family, I want to say to you that what does al-Islam represent? Al-Islam is a system. It is a guidance. It is a methodology and a blueprint for us to get the best life Allah has to offer here and the life to come. It is a way of life that respects our nature, our intelligence, and is compatible with our soul. This is the beauty. We have a religion that respects your intelligence. Do you know some faiths just give you kindergarten fairy tale language? Do you know that some faiths manipulate you emotionally? They don't want you to think. Allah does not even make us come to Him. He wants us to willingly, voluntarily come to Him. Listen to this. Of your own free will and with your own intelligence. Al-Islam is an intelligent way of life, and it respects your human dignity. Now, you might sound like I'm doing a little sales job here today. It may come across like that because I see what is happening to the Muslim community. I see what's happening to our family life. Not that we're bad people, not that it's on purpose. Satan is manipulating and orchestrating this. He shames you out of your righteousness. Now, you don't want to be good and broke. You don't want to have morals and be a sucker. This is how he talks to us. And we say, yeah, I don't want to be broke. No, I don't want to get played. When Satan is playing you, is making you his sucker right now. So brothers and sisters, Al-Islam is powerful and life-changing when we have the faith in it and apply it. I need to say that again, because we forgot that Al-Islam is powerful and life-changing. Now, can I talk to the ex-slave for a minute? Can I talk to those of us that have not had this all of our life? Can we have a little nostalgia? Can we go back and reflect on how we felt when we first came to Al-Islam? Now, some of us, that was a couple years ago, and some of us, that was a couple decades ago. Let's talk to the couple decades ago. Do you remember?
Come on, you man.
Do you remember how it felt to be a new Muslim? Because that spirit, that thirst, that enthusiasm is what helped you to grow and develop and was the glue that kept you together.
That's right.
Now, some of us are not excited about this way of life anymore. Do you remember the fire we had for the faith? Do you remember when you couldn't wait for your next Muslim meeting or gathering? Do you remember how thirsty you were for Islamic knowledge and information and how you hung on the Imam's every word? Tell me more, tell me more. Oh, the class is over already? Man. But now we watch our clock. Some of y'all watching your clock right now. Yes. So I can get on to this other stuff that I got to get to. See, Allah knows. That's why He reveals things. Leave off business. Leave off track. He got to put that in Revelation. Ain't that something? He got to mandate something for you that's good for you.
Come on.
I remember one time I got pulled over by a state trooper in New York State, and I had my headsets on listening to music. And I said, officer, I was a young driver. I maybe had my driver's license 30 days, right? Young driver. Oh, officer, I didn't know that was the law. Well, you know they're going to tell you, ignorance don't matter. Your ignorance of the law don't matter. But you know what he said? He said, yeah, it's a shame that we have to put a law in effect that is intelligent and good for your own behavior. In other words, he was saying, you know, when you got the headphones on, if they're too loud, you can't hear horns blowing, you can't hear what's going on, you could cause an accident. Well, Allah realizes the same thing with us. He got to legislate things because we won't act in our own best interest. When we learned about our faith, we saw ourselves in it. Again, I'm still being a little nostalgic here. I'm going back a little bit. We loved the teachings and we wanted to reflect those teachings in our lives and internalize them and make them a part of who we truly are. In other words, we were not too proud to recognize our shortcomings. And we saw the answer. We saw the solution. We saw the cure in Al-Islam. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. We got ex-gangbangers in here. We got ex-dope people in here, ex-womanizers in here. And we know what El Islam did for our life. All of us didn't grow up in the projects, I understand that, but some of us did. And even if we didn't grow up, we grew up in suburbia, we had other issues. We had other artificial lifestyle. So yes, we saw the faith in ourselves. We loved the teachings. If we lied or we were immoral, we used drugs or cussed people out, we would fight within ourselves to change that and make it compatible with our religion. Now some of our attitudes is to change the religion to fit us, to water it down. This is a New Year's message, family. We're starting 2015, right? Everybody else talking about how they gonna lose weight, how they gonna get the exercise program, how we gonna get the Islamic diet right, how we gonna get the Islamic lifestyle right. That's what this is. And actually, it's coming from my heart, brother. So I got notes, and I'm paying close attention to my notes than I normally do, because there's certain things that I want to make sure that I say. And just give me a few more minutes. I'm almost done. Praise be to Allah. We want the attitudes. We want the lifestyle to change. In other words, we want Islam. Let me just say it again. We want to change the religion to fit us. Now listen to this. But not even our best us. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, this is why some of our lives are not the way we want them to be. We have been seduced away from our taqwa and our excellence, many times unconsciously. The good news is we can turn this around. The good news is we can turn this state of being around, but it's going to take a conscious effort. My prayer for you is that we get excited about our religion again so that we can connect. You know, it's sad when we don't feel nothing. I have to use the male-female relationship. When it first gets started, we excited. Butterflies when the phone rings. Can't wait to see the other person. And boy, if we kiss, oh, magic. Some married couples are like that. But 5 years into this thing, just 5 years, we see all of our faults now. And when we kiss, I don't feel it. No, I don't feel nothing. Yes. There's a classic line. I'm going to just be brief. One of these movies, I watch a lot of movies, there was a question asked, how do you stop the fire from going out in your relationship? And this question was asked earlier in the movie, but it wasn't answered till later in the movie. And then finally, when he answered it, he says, the way you stop the fire from going out, or the way that you prevent the fire from going out in a relationship, is to never let it go out to begin with. Yeah. So, we gotta get the fire back. We want to do more than just go through the motions. We don't wanna just come to Juma out of a sense of obligation. Come to Juma looking for something. Come to Juma looking to be empowered. Come to Juma looking for guidance and wanting to be drawn closer to Allah. When you read the Quran, see it as a roadmap and a blueprint for your life. And where you're out of touch or where you don't measure up, don't beat yourself up. All it is, see, the test tells you what you still have to learn. The test tells you where you're out of line. So, brothers and sisters, for flaws to be manifest is not necessarily a negative thing. I know how we do. We make it very negative because we criticize and put each other down with our shortcomings and fault. But when Allah reveals the fault, it's to purge. When Allah reveals the fault, it's a mercy so you can correct your course. So you know what you have to work on. Some of us are in denial. Ain't nothing wrong with me, it's the world. Everybody else got the problem. No, you the problem. Allah says it clearly in the Quran. You're not even aware that you're the problem. I'm paraphrasing Quran. So what much my challenge? Let's do better, brothers and sisters. Let's get to our excellence. Let's get to our best self. Yes. When we read the Quran, see it as something to grow towards and to aspire to. When we read the prophets' lives, upon him be peace. When we read the stories of the Sahaba, radiallahu anh, and his good attitude, his faith, his kindness, don't dismiss this as magical qualities. See, this is the injustice that we've done to Jesus, upon him be peace, in the world. When I say we, I don't mean the Muslims. I'm trying to be polite. We make Jesus, upon him be peace, unreachable. We make him human and divine. And we're solely, purely, and merely human. Isn't this our language? What do you expect from me? I'm only human. Like that's a weak thing. Like that's a bad thing. Like that's a negative thing. Do you know, when you look at these great people like a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even a Mahatma Gandhi, and all of these other people that have changed the course of history, these were humans. So to be human is not a weak thing, it's a miraculous thing. And I like the way the Imam said it. May God be pleased with him. I'm talking about Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu. He said, if Allah did not give us a human model to follow, we would have an argument with him on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, how come you gave me an angel? How come you gave me a god? How come you gave me a spook as a model when I'm human? So Allah clearly says, if the earth was populated by angels, I would have sent you an angel as a messenger. Allah clearly says he says that for the human being, he says that Muhammad is an abasharu mithlakum, that he's a flesh and blood mortal human being like you, not different from you, like you.
Allahu Akbar.
So we don't have no argument. We have a human model. 5 more minutes. Praise be to Allah. Yes, I'm pouring out my heart, family.
Allahu Akbar.
Out of love for you all and for myself. There's too much pain in the world. There's too much self-inflicted pain in the world by decisions we make, by choices we make, by company we keep, by the compromises we make. So my hope and prayer for all of us is to take charge of your life. And the solution and the best way to take charge of your life is within the confines, of what Allah has been evolving since man hit the planet. This deen we call that Islam. And the more familiar we get with this deen, the more solutions we will find. A lot of times I don't know what to do, I don't know the answer, but you ain't looked for it. So you go to default. Now, having said that, the Prophet doesn't just have magical qualities. He's not something out of our reach. We have to refuse to accept un-Islamic behavior, un-Islamic qualities, and strive to be better. Don't say, just accept me the way I am. I got a foul mouth, now deal with it. I don't want to pray, now deal with it. I'm telling you, this is what we say to each other. And we try to make it all right. Well, nobody's perfect. These are just my issues. When did we stop trying to make Al-Islam eradicate in us those un-Islamic qualities? When the beginning, I'm going back again. In the beginning, we wanted to be seen as a righteous Muslim. In the beginning, we wanted the discipline of a righteous Muslim, the speech of a righteous Muslim, the behavior of a righteous Muslim, the dress of a righteous Muslim. And our desire for that did something for us internally. Remember the man in the desert that made dua to Allah, asking for Allah's help, and he didn't get Allah's help when his clothes was unlawful, his speech was unlawful, his food was unlawful, his drink was unlawful. The Prophet said, how do you expect to be helped by Allah when everything you're involved with is unlawful. But I'm also saying to you that it is the ritual or the exercise that strengthens you and influences you internally if you understand. Now, Brother Man, that sounds like double talk. A minute ago you said don't do the ritual thing. Take what I'm saying in the context of what I'm saying. I said the ritual alone is not righteousness. What I'm telling you now, the ritual is to preserve knowledge, and the ritual is an exercise that, if connected to knowledge and understanding, recreates you internally. If you understand why you pray the way you pray, if you understand what you're doing in the ablution, if you understand all of the things that the rituals possess, then you grow and you connect and you change. So no, this ain't double talk. Get the context. And the context is the ritual is very important for preserving knowledge, and the understanding and the message and the meaning of the ritual is crucial for you to benefit. I can't make it no plainer. I think I can. When we wash our hands, brothers and sisters, for wudu, we are not just washing our hands. Our hands are symbolic of our actions. Our right hand is our conscious action, and our left hand is our unconscious action. So you want your conscious action and your unconscious actions to be clean. But also, you also want to be clean on three levels. Not just physically clean, you want to be spiritually clean and mentally clean. Can I leave it right there? Washing your face is symbolic of your character. We don't want to be two-faced. We don't want to have a bad character. And I'm going to just leave it right there. I'm telling you, you have to understand the rituals so you can benefit from them. In my conclusion, praise be to Allah. Thank you all for your patience. I'm glad most of us on holiday, inshallah. Yes. All right. Again, dear family, the good news is that sin and negativity are artificial and unnatural. Decency, good morals, faith, and kindness are natural, and they are your inheritance. So when you read the Quran and the stories, don't say that was deep. Oh, nice story, but that was then. No, say I can be that. That is the best of the excellence that's in me. Don't separate Muslim qualities and characteristics from yourself. Claim them, embrace them, and be them. To quote a great American, Forrest Gump, a Muslim is as a Muslim does. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let us be good Muslims. Let us look to the Prophet and his companions as our examples. Let us remain conscious. Let us get excited. Let us internalize. Let us stop making excuses and let us be our best selves. It's such a crime what we do to our children. Even statistically, males, African American males in particular, a drastic learning curve happens from fourth grade on. Something is killed in them after the fourth grade. Be careful. Satan is busy. Forces are working. Understand that Allah created you for excellence. There are no accidents. If you're here, you have a purpose. Somebody put it this way. You're either an example of what you should be or what you shouldn't be. And I pray Allah that we're the example of what we should be. Thank you so much. Praise be to Allah. I'm going to indulge you just a couple more minutes. I'm going to make some announcements, and then we're going to make salat. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. First of all, I have to acknowledge our dear Abdul Jami family, both locally and from the Dallas area. And my sister there, Samira, right? Praying be to Allah. My sister's very active on Facebook with these beautiful children. I feel like I know all of them because I see the pictures and the milestones. And so we welcome Brother Muhammad, Sister Samira, who Brother Muhammad is our own, really. You know, we got him on loan in Dallas, brother, but you are a brother. I want to acknowledge Al-Hajja, Sister Malika Abdul Jami. Takbir. I haven't seen our sister since she made Hajj, and anxious to hear her stories and how it changed her life. I'm sure it did. It's a life-changing experience. Sister Khadija, good to see you, my sister. Glad that you had a little time. They got you on that road heavy. And we pray Allah your family is good. Please give me, ma'am. Your father, Imam Yusuf, please give him our greetings. We also want to acknowledge the grandbabies, Sister Janiyah, Brother Jasir, and we want to acknowledge Sister Jenna, our students, Brother Christian. We see all of our students, our young people here. We acknowledge Brother Keith from the Nation of Islam. We miss you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Welcome home.
Thank you, sir.
And it's 2015.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Good to see our brother here. You gon' don't get mad at me. I forgot your name though, but alhamdulillah. Marwan? Yeah, alhamdulillah. So alhamdulillah. It's good to see all of you. And many of our members are traveling and with their families. This has been a wonderful time of year for the family. And Sister Phyllis, alhamdulillah, I'm glad you got a day off finally. They're working you hard as well. So real quick, family, look at your emails. January might be a record-setting month. This is a busy month, family. And I'm going to be shooting you some things. Number one, let me take this opportunity to ask Allah's blessings on all of you and on all of your family, and that you have a very healthy, happy, prosperous, and productive new year. Praise be to Allah. Inshallah, this Sunday, we're going to start our leadership class here. I'm not going to say a whole lot about that now, but it'll be the first and third Sunday of every month here at Mass at 11 a.m. It's for males and females, and I'll explain to you at that time more what the intent and the purpose is. But it's in the name itself. It's to develop leaders,
yes.
Not just imams, but leaders.
That's right.
And to prepare our future for our legacy beyond the years that Allah will have us be here. We want to be here as long as Allah has life on this planet. I also want to remind the leadership team, our department heads, and we have our quarterly meeting. It was supposed to be on the 18th, but I'm gonna be out of town. So it's gonna be on next Sunday, the 11th. Also, we have the MBIR annual state of the masjid meeting, the fourth Sunday of this month, which is the 25th. And we'll work the time out. I don't know if the ladies are still meeting. I want to remind you, and please start planning for this. February 8th is our collaborative event with the Austin community in Austin. It's a Sunday, and I want to business people to know you're going to have an opportunity to shine that day. One of the focuses we're going to have this time will be business. And I'm making this short because I got a lot of announcements, and I've already held you a long time for Joma. Also be thinking about the Southwest Sectional Conference, which will be in Shreveport, Louisiana, April 3rd through the 5th. 2 weeks from this weekend, Marriage Retreat in Houston. Some of us attended the Marriage Retreat a couple years ago, a year ago. They're having another one. And brothers and sisters, what I know about relationships, we need to invest all that we can to get the help that we need, because it's deep. And I'm speaking of myself too. I was the first one to sign up. Praise be to Allah. So that's the weekend of the 16th, 17th, and 18th in Houston. Details to follow. We also are starting a series at the Soul Center on El Islam, the 20th of this month. I don't know if Imam Abdurrahim is going to be involved, but I know I'm going to be kicking it off, and they want to know about the history of Al Islam in America. So we'll be dealing with that on the 20th of this month, inshallah. Then we have our annual MLK event on the 18th. Are you getting the picture?
Yes, sir.
Y'all going to be exhausted at the end of this month. I hope you're exhausted. So praise be to Allah. Keep up the sadaqa. Keep up the Muslim journals. And brothers and sisters, I thank Allah. I thank Allah for this beautiful way of life. I thank Allah for this community. And I look forward to a wonderful 2015 and beyond with Allah's help. Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin kama sallaita Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim wa ala alameen. Inaka Hamidin Majid. Amin. Hakim as-salam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum.